Welcome to the SDA Housing Podcast, brought to you by NDIS Property Australia. Before starting this episode, we need to provide a general disclaimer. Information contained in this podcast is general in nature only. It does not take into account the objectives, financial situation, or needs of any particular person. You need to consider your financial situation and needs before making any decisions based on the information in this podcast. And you should consider seeking independent and professional advice for your personal circumstances. All right, let's begin.
Welcome to the SDA Housing Podcast. My name is Debbie from NDIS Property Australia, and this is our monthly in-depth SDA Unlocked podcast episode where we delve into the supply and demand data for specialist disability accommodation in different areas around Australia. Today, I am so happy we have our regular guests back in the office to record our episode today on South Australia. So welcome Matt and Dan from Everhomes.
Hi. Hello.
Great to have you back again. So South Australia, we thought we've just started to have build relationships with some builders and developers down in South Australia. So we're starting to get some stock coming through to sell. And we don't really know a lot about it. We don't know much about the supply and the demand. So we thought this would be a really good episode, timely episode to do this month. Tell us about what you're seeing is happening in Adelaide.
Sure. Yeah. So we focus mostly on Adelaide in our analysis, and Adelaide Hills as well, which I guess we would class as part of Adelaide.
Yeah.
What would you say was our biggest takeaway from that, Mark?
Well, I'd look at Adelaide a bit more holistically as well, because the other two areas they look at are the Outback and then the Barossa, York, Mid-North area, which are unbelievably rural, may not be totally feasible for SDA given their rurality, I guess.
Matt, by the way, is... an Adelaide boy.
Originally, yeah.
Oh, are you, Matt?
Unfortunately. My biggest takeaway from South Australia, Adelaide, is that you got your 2,400 total participants, roughly. You got 3,513 available bedrooms for them. So when you look at your supply and demand based on that, you've got an oversupply of about 1,100. The reason being is most likely because 65% of that entire market is existing stock.
Right. Okay. So tell us about what that really means. What exactly is existing stock?
So existing stock's that stuff built prior to 2016. It's what would not be classified as new build, and it wouldn't, if you were to build that exact same thing now, it wouldn't get certification for SDA. So that's what the NDIA are gradually getting rid of. And it's what participants generally are seeking to move out of into things that are more
so it's more
accessible.
Institutional. Group housing.
Legacy. There's also legacy in that. Now, legacy is the 6-plus bedrooms.
Yeah.
So they are the institutional.
And they are definitely being phased out. I think there's a 10-year period. They must be defunded within the SDA funding becoming available in the state.
Yeah, and of course, that's definitely a really positive thing. This is why SDA exists, you know, as deinstitutionalisation of some of those facilities.
But the existing's a little bit different.
But existing is still kind of same size, so 5 bedrooms or less, but older stock. And if you've ever looked at the SDA price guide, you'll see that there are different tiers of funding for each of these.
Yeah.
And existing stock is much lower in terms of what payment you will receive, which is incentivising, obviously, the building of the new build, which was LHA, Livable Housing Australia standard, until mid last year when it transitioned over to the SDA design standard. A lot of builders were doing that, but basically you're compliant with a new standard of build, which is much more specific, much better in terms of accessibility. So that new build is what is going to primarily form the stock of you know, over the next 20 years.
So this current perceived oversupply is not really an oversupply.
It's not an oversupply of what you would consider SDA. You know, you do some of the basic maths and you look at the market without that existing stock, those places that are attributable to existing stock, there's a shortage of about 1,200 places.
Okay.
Of new build. That only include, that's encompassing of new build stock and pipeline stock.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So that there is obviously a high need for newer build stock. Yeah.
You mentioned that pipeline word. Just tell us in a little bit more detail exactly what that is.
So pipeline's all the stuff that is under construction or unenrolled currently. So that's what we... Now, there is no expectation that they will get enrolled. It comes down to certification and things like that. We would imagine that people are building to the correct standards and they will get enrolled. So that's what will come through as new build SDA in the future.
Yeah, and I believe that the pipeline figures are based on the when people get a design SDA certified, they need to notify the NDIA that they are
at design stage.
At design stage of this property. So it doesn't even mean it will go ahead and get built.
No, it doesn't mean it will go ahead and get built.
It's
likely to. That means the plans have been certified as SDA compliant.
It's not 100% sure that those numbers are going to eventuate.
And there'll also be a certification at as built.
That's
as well.
Right, yes. Yeah.
So there's two stages they have to pass. But we would imagine that most... Well, obviously, you don't start a build unless it's been certified most of the time.
It'd be interesting to look at how many of those actually do come through in terms of whether there'd be a natural attrition of some not going through.
That's
we
right.
assume that the vast majority of them will.
Yeah, so I'm looking at a figure here for the whole of South Australia, 301 SDA dwellings in the pipeline, and the vast majority of which are in Adelaide, I think all but 18. We would assume that probably 95% of those will actually get built, get SDA certified, maybe even more. I don't know. We don't know.
Not sure. Yeah.
No. All we can do is guess, I guess, at this point.
Yeah. So in terms of our other observations, one of the differences between our previous conversation last month when we were focusing on Perth, and this one with Adelaide is there is more robust housing.
Mm-hmm.
So I would probably consider building robust more cautiously than with Western Australia or some other areas in Australia.
Okay.
It's typically a place, a category that is less commonly built, and often areas are crying out for robust stock. But what we've noted in that is there are only three robust one-bedroom options. In South Australia as of the December 2022 data, which is not a lot. And there were five in the pipeline in North Adelaide. So there are some coming through. There's probably some room for some more one-bedroom robust options if that's what you're looking at. Apartments are really strangely located. So the apartments are located in Central Hills, which is and the eastern kind of parts of Adelaide. Mm-hmm. We would typically assume that apartments would be in more central areas. We believe that really what dwelling type is designed should be reflective of what anyone else in the community would be living in.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're living in apartments, you'd be living in more central areas. But however, we've got 42 in the Central Hills and 53 in the pipeline. There. So if you're going to go into apartments, probably don't build there.
Mm-hmm.
Build in a more central area where I guess it's more intuitively makes sense to have apartments there.
Right.
We suspect it might be government housing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. There were a few, I guess, government organisations, government schemes in the past. One of the big ones was called Minda, and they housed a lot of people with disabilities prior to SDA coming around, and they still exist down there now. So they could be contributing towards that as well, especially in that apartment space. I know that a lot of them were individual. They got on the train of deinstitutionalizing quite early, but it was without SDA involved. It was privately or either private organizations or the government themselves doing it.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, so house and land, houses.
So it's more, more mixed across categories and design types. So they've got an... we're thinking that investors or, you know, people that like yourselves that are organising builds down the road thinking more diversely. So there are some two-resident houses mixed across, you know, the different categories. Same thing for three-bedroom houses. What were the key takeaways that you sort of made there?
Well, in the pipeline for two-resident houses, there's 87 currently under construction for two-resident houses. So people are picking up on that as an area. Even in two-resident villas and three-resident villas, there's quite a few. And again, apartments follow the same trend as most other areas in the country, where they are getting developed at quite a rapid rate. So it's probably, when it comes down to your two-resident houses, which is, I guess, the model that Everhomes sort of prefer, the key difference there would be the design internally and purely the location factor that we'd look at when we're deciding on taking on one of these properties.
Yeah, I think location is really key in Adelaide because a lot of the development is happening in those cheaper areas. I know that there are houses, you know, going in Murray Bridge, and, you know, obviously there's a demand for housing in Murray Bridge, but I think the expectation with the development of those is sometimes people from Adelaide will move. So if you do have capacity to build in kind of some more Adelaide locations, I think that you obviously that strategy depends entirely upon no housing being available in Adelaide if you're going to go.
How far is Murray Bridge from Adelaide? It's not that close.
An hour?
Yeah, hour and a half.
So you think people would actually move?
We've discussed this and we've gone, well, just, and this is not necessarily, we didn't look at the data. We've seen packs. And quite a few, you know, from our group. So what actually comes through will be different. It'll be interesting to see. It's still a reasonably large place. So there is definitely a demand for housing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But what we're saying here is, there's an even Elizabeth, for example, in the north, but a lot of people are also building there. So if you can find something on those sweet spots, you know, where the land isn't necessarily really expensive, but it's in a better location.
So where do you...
Very well positioned.
Yeah. Where do you see the gaps? Anywhere specific in terms of location?
There are no... So Adelaide West, for example, is a nice location, mm-hmm. but there are... Oh, no, sorry, we've got some apartments going in there. I don't know the answer to that.
Okay.
Well, Adelaide West, as an area for houses, might be quite good. But then when you look at that area and the suburbs that it involves are
what
you would define as upper class suburbs, more expensive land. There's a very small distance between Adelaide City and the coast on the west. So those suburbs are more expensive to build. They're generally smaller, tighter suburbs. So you've got some of those contextual factors there you have to deal with, but that's where you would want to build houses to place participants.
If you could get the land.
If you could get the land and you could
afford
it.
That's where I get stuck there.
Yeah.
Because I don't know the pricing of the land or what's actually viable. Whereas you actually may know more about what, you know, pricing of land that you're seeing and what's viable for an investor. Because there is clearly a point at which you just wouldn't build an SDA.
Absolutely.
So, you know, I guess you would know those sweet spots, and I'm sure people will touch base with you too.
Yeah. I mean, we certainly do take into account the location factor and what demand is in areas, but the location factor, I don't know if people are aware of this when it comes to the returns, the SDA returns paid for a participant in a particular area. The location factors can vary by huge amounts. In the inner cities, generally not so much. You might be looking at a location factor anywhere from 0.95 to 1.05. But in areas where there is, I guess, a lot more challenges in building, major lack of supply, and I'm veering away here, but in Darwin, I know that the location factor up there is 1.2. So the income on some areas can be really, it is, and I guess it was put in that way to encourage development in these areas and to compensate the investors for the cost of developing in those areas where it is more expensive to build and it's harder to get the supplies and the trades and whatnot. I'm not sure what the location factors differ by throughout Adelaide. And we can only hope that, and we've talked about this before, the new price review prices that will be coming out in a couple of months will hopefully reflect the changes in costs to build, prices of land, and those location factors will better compensate in the areas where the SDA is really needed and it's currently not feasible to build because it's just not giving the returns at the moment.
Yeah, that's obviously their attempts to incentivize certain areas. But I don't. To what degree would you say that investors do look at those at location factors?
Well, the investors don't necessarily look so much because we do that work for them. We will look at the potential returns for all the different tenant funding levels. And obviously a higher return is going to be brought about by a high location factor and the investor's not necessarily really aware of that. They just know that that's what the return is on that property or what the potential returns are on that property. And as I said, in Darwin, it's huge. So you're looking at current prices for two high physical support participants, two tenant funding, $140,000 income, whereas you might only get $110,000 somewhere else in Australia. So that's a big difference.
Yeah. I know Sydney can just absolutely go off in certain design.
Yeah.
Dwelling types compared to other areas of Australia, the difference can be enormous.
Yeah.
And understandably so, if it's going to be expensive. Or if it's a smaller place like Darwin is, and it's hard for an SDA provider to service that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so just even that alone has to be incentivised.
Yeah, absolutely. So I guess for South Australia then, it's a bit of a wait and see. We know there is going to be demand for housing. There's a lot of units have gone in already, or are there already?
Look, I think there's no, I was talking about Adelaide West. I was just looking at the data a little bit more. But that's obviously a subject to affordability. But I think you could go to many areas within that Adelaide area, as long as you're not going too far out,
mm-hmm.
and there's probably going to be a need for it.
Yep. Oh, that's good to know. So, yeah, Adelaide, again, not that much development of new build.
Comparatively to the existing stock.
Yeah.
Even if you look at the participant increases over time, now there's been a solid amount that the NDIA have been releasing this data. We can actually look at it longitudinally. There's an average 73 participants getting funded per quarter. You break that down by certain areas. You look at Adelaide West, for example, it probably equates to around 10 participants or 4% growth per quarter. Now, that's only 5 two-resident houses to accommodate that demand.
Mm-hmm.
Now, obviously, this isn't weighted and it might increase. I guess you might get some compounding over time. But there's definitely options there, and we do think that the participant increases are going to help decision-making in terms of definitely supplying builds down there. But again, it just comes down to those really specific areas. And Adelaide, growing up there, it's a 30-minute city. You start in the middle, and 30 minutes takes you to the beach, 30 minutes takes you to the country, 30 minutes takes you to the hills. So that's what you've got to think about in there. It's not the same as Queensland, where distances between the Sunshine Coast and Brisbane are an hour and a half.
Mm-hmm. It's often subject to the perceptions of the people living there.
Yes.
So being from Rockhampton originally myself, you're driving 5 minutes across town, but 15 minutes, you just wouldn't do that.
Yep.
Yes. That's just too far. Yeah. So it's all about what people are willing to do.
Yeah.
And how they perceive the travel that they have to make.
Yeah.
Cool. Okay. Oh, well, any last takeaways on Adelaide as a an investment hotspot for SDA?
Look, I think obviously this is changing over time and every investor needs to be doing their research at the time, you know, and getting the information from multiple sources. Looking at the data is not everybody's cup of tea, but there is certainly data available that they can look at, or they can, you know, give either of us a call, really, and just have a chat about it and see what we can advise at the time.
Yeah, of course. I didn't actually mention that Everhomes do reports on specific areas for investors that might want to delve a bit deeper. You can contact them. That's a paid service, but they are more than happy to do that. If anybody wants that, you can reach out. The details to contact them will be at the in the description of this episode. So,
sometimes a quick chat rather than a whole report is fine too.
Absolutely, that too. And it might save their time as well. We know that Everhomes are very busy guys. They've got a lot going on all the time. So, I guess that wraps up this episode. So thank you again so much for coming in and talking us through the supply and demand data this month in Adelaide. So thank you guys.
My pleasure.
Thank you.
Bye.
We hope you enjoyed this episode. Please make sure you are subscribed and following us so you can keep in the loop with all of our upcoming episodes. We would really appreciate it if you could leave us a 5-star rating, a written review, and to share this podcast with those that could benefit. Until next time, catch you on the next episode.